Hopefully you are blessed by being here with us. And of course, we have had a very Merry Christmas. With all of our grandchildren here with us. It's been a lot of fun. And we've been just really enjoying that time with them. I hope that you have had a blessed Christmas also.
Amen.
We have been studying Heaven in the Real World. And the whole point of this study has been about realizing that we can live under the power of heaven today in our lives here on earth. We don't have to wait, in other words, till we get to heaven to enjoy the power of heaven. God provides that to us right now here in our lives. And in our study, we began this in talking about the very first part of this was hearing the wonderful message that heaven has for us, that God loved us so much and recognize the value that we have to Him, so much that He gave the most valuable thing He had, which was the blood of His Son, to buy us back from sin. The second part of this study had to do with sharing that message with other people, taking the message of heaven and sharing it with a world that is lost. And this third part that we've been studying and talking about, embracing heaven's methods, and that's being able to take and look at what does heaven do, how does heaven respond, and how does heaven call upon us to respond to the things that are going on around us in our lives in this world. In this part of our study, the last part of it, what we've been looking at is dealing with maturing through pain, the things that go on in our lives that are hurtful and painful. How do we grow through those things so that those painful experiences are not wasted on us? We talked about maturing through testing. The realization that, yes, indeed, God allows us to be tested in our lives through hardship. And sometimes those hardships, they're difficult to deal with, but they are always for our best interest and for our growth, that God allows us to go through them for that. And then last time we were talking about maturing through confrontation. It's the realization that says, you know, we need to deal with sin. We need to confront ourselves with the sin in our own lives, and we need to be able to confront it in one another so that one day we can all be together with God because we've gotten sin out of the way. Today is the last in this series of lessons, and we're going to finish this study talking about maturing through serving. What does heaven have to share with us about how we can grow to be the kind of servants that God wants us to be? And so we begin this morning by talking about an identity makeover. Now, probably everybody is familiar with identity theft, right? You know, we've been warned about all that, and somebody wants your identity so that they can use it to make money and all those kind of things. But we're not talking about identity theft this morning. What we're talking about is an identity makeover. And this is the identity edition. In order for us to be true servants of God, we've got to change our identity. We need to have a complete makeover of who we are. In order to do that, we need to understand something basic and fundamental, which has to do with the difference. We've got to understand the difference between being of service to someone and being a servant, because there is a huge, huge difference between those two. And so whenever we talk about being of service to someone, being of service allows me to choose when I want to serve. You see? So in other words, I'm the one who gets to decide when and where and how long and how much and what I'm going to do when I'm going to be of service to someone. And I think that if we're really honest about it, most of us don't mind being of service to someone else, right? I mean, we don't mind doing that from time to time. We look at our schedule and see that, okay, yeah, I can do that this particular time. I can be of service to this person. I can accomplish this thing. We like to be able to choose when and where and how we're going to be of service. But being a servant says that I'm going to serve at the will of the master. In other words, I don't get to choose the conditions under which I serve. I don't get to choose the time. I don't get to choose how long or what even I'm going to do. I just serve where the Master sends me to serve. Another thing about the difference here is that being of service changes your behavior. Okay? In other words, when we're of service to someone, we do different things, don't we? Even if it's just temporary. But we are changing what we're doing and sometimes how we're doing those things. And that can be good for the time that we're being of service. But when we talk about being a servant, okay, what we're talking about here is changing our identity. Okay? In other words, learning to be a servant and maturing as a servant changes who we are, not just what we do. Because sometimes what we do can be temporary, but when we change who we are and we truly identify ourselves as a servant of God, you see, then that changes everything about our lives, and it's permanent. It's not just a temporary situation at our own convenience. It is a permanent identity change for the work of God. So you see, there's a huge difference between just being of service to someone and being a servant to God. And what we're talking about this morning is maturing through service. How do we grow in being servants to God in our lives here on earth? The Apostle Paul wrote in our text that we read this morning as our scripture reading, Philippians chapter 2, 5-7. Notice what he says here. We need to have the same attitude as Jesus. And what kind of attitude did he have? Well, his attitude was that he found himself, or he knew that he was in very nature God. Okay? He was deity. Okay? That was his very nature. But he did not consider that equality with God something to be held on to, but rather, what did he do? He made himself nothing, taking what? The very nature of a servant. So he transformed his identity from the nature of being deity to that nature of being a servant. And Paul here is telling you and I that we need to have that same approach to life. You say, to change our identity and take on the very nature of a servant. Okay? You see, the reality is heaven did not come down here dressed as a king, dressed in royalty, and so forth. Heaven came down dressed as a servant. A servant who was willing to wash feet. And God calls upon you and I to grow to be that very same kind of servant. See, to dress, to change our identity so that we look like servants and we act like servants. See? But that's difficult to do, isn't it? It's easy to say, it's easy to talk about. Say, yeah, I need to be a servant. You know, we sing a song, make me a servant, right? But the reality is, it's tough to do. And so let's take a look for a moment at someone that God allowed and helped to mature into being the kind of servant that he wanted him to be. But it was a process, okay, a growth process that Moses had to do. God started preparing Moses to be the kind of servant he wanted him to be 80 years before it was time for Moses to really begin serving him. 80 years the preparation took. Okay? It started out when the Israelites were there in the land of Egypt and their numbers were growing so fast that the Egyptians began to worry that the Israelites were going to outnumber them and they were going to take over the country. They were going to, you know, side with Egypt's enemies. And so the Egyptians decided what we need to do is start oppressing these people. We need to put them, they put them into slavery. Well, the Israelites kept growing in number. And so the Pharaoh said, okay, here's what we're going to do. He commanded the midwives, whenever you have a male Israelite child, you're killed. Well, the midwives didn't want to do that. So they made up excuses. Well, you know, these Israelite women, they're having these babies so fast, they're having before we even get there. The Pharaoh says, fine. He commanded all, everyone. Anytime an Israelite boy child was born, you'd throw it in the river and drown. He was worried. about the growth of these people. Well, in God's preparation, we know the story that Moses' mother placed him in a basket. I mean, technically, right, you know, follow the rule, put him in the river. Okay? She put him in a river, all right? But she put him in a basket first. So Moses floats down the river, and he is discovered by Pharaoh's daughter. See? And rescued, not only rescued from the river, but raised up in Pharaoh's home. You see God's preparation. See? For what is going to take place down the road. So Moses grows up in Pharaoh's house, And he serves under Pharaoh's throne for 40 years. And after that time is when Moses sees an Egyptian slave driver beating an Israelite slave, and he goes out and he kills the slave driver, and then thinking that he's got everything taken care of, he discovers that now somebody saw him do it, and Moses flees to the land of Midian. And it's there that Moses begins the second phase of his life for the next 40 years, herding sheep. Now, if herding sheep does not prepare you to be a leader of God's people, I don't know what would. You say? Because as I understand, sheep can be some of the most stubborn animals that God ever created. And that's not a whole lot unlike God's people. Okay? We can be stubborn as can be, can't we? We can be stubborn as can be, can't we?
Amen.
Amen. We sure can, you say. And so God prepared Moses for 40 years just herding sheep to get him ready for what he was about to do. So Moses is now 80 years old. Okay? When God talks with him there at the bush that was on fire but didn't burn up. And God spoke to Moses, and he said, Moses, I've got some work for you to do. Okay? Moses, I've got work for you to do that I've been preparing you for the last 80 years for. And when God told Moses what that work was all about, what did Moses begin to do? Well, he started making excuses. Okay? One excuse after another as to why he wasn't the right one for the job. Now, just stop and picture this. And you know the story. I mean, how many times have you heard this story? But just stop and picture for a moment. Here's God talking to Moses through the bush. And Moses is standing on what kind of ground?
Holy ground.
And God is telling him what he's prepared him to do and what he wants him to do. And Moses has the audacity to start making excuses as to why he can't do what God is sending him to do. Okay? I can't talk good enough. I'm not a very good speaker. And these people are not going to listen to me anyway. Okay? One excuse after another. And finally, after Moses puts out all of his excuses as to why he's the wrong choice to be God's servant, okay, the truth really finally comes out. Moses is out of excuses. And the real bottom line of this whole story with Moses as to where he is at that moment is this. Lord, please send somebody else to do it. He just really didn't want to do it. Okay? Please send somebody else. Now, let's be real honest with ourselves. You don't have to raise your hand, but you know, how many times have you ever felt that way with something that God wants you to do? Lord, please send somebody else. And it's really just simply because whatever it is that God has put before you, you just don't want to do it. I don't know about you, but I know in my own life, and I'm just being honest, that there's been a lot of times where I just didn't want to do it. And I know also, as I look at those situations, that I can see where God prepared me way ahead of time for what He was asking me to do. Okay? But I just didn't want to do it. And all the excuses that I could come up with, God found a way to get rid of those. You see? And I also know this, that when I did those things that I knew God wanted me to do, that He put before me to do, that I didn't want to do, I'm convinced that those are the things that have allowed me and caused me to grow in my life more than anything else ever has.
Amen.
saved. And I think that's one of the ways that God works in our lives.
Amen.
That's part of that maturing process. And that's where Moses was. Please send somebody else to do it. And so one of the things that I want to challenge you to do is to really, you know, be honest with yourselves and look at, you know, the things that God prepares us to do and calls upon us to do. How often do you look at it and go, I just don't want to do it. I've got better things to do with my time or whatever the case may be. Please find somebody else to do this. But here's the thing that you need to understand. God already has plans for you. Okay? He's already got the plans made out of what He wants you to do for Him. You don't know necessarily what those plans are. Again, how long did it take Moses to find out? 80 years. See? But God was preparing him to do what He wanted him to do all that time. So God already has some plans for you to work in His service. You may not know right now what those plans are because He hasn't revealed them to you yet. But He's already got plans for you. The question is, when He does reveal those plans to you, what is your response going to be? Is it going to be, Lord, please send somebody else? Are you going to make up all kinds of excuses? Or are you going to be ready to serve where He wants you to serve? You see? Because He's got a plan. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 says this, it was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. And what was all of that for? To prepare God's people for what? Works of service. You see? That God has given us, you know, leaders to prepare us for works of service. And why did He give us? Just so that we'd have something to do? Is that why He's got works of service for us? No, continue reading on. So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become what?
Mature.
Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. You see, God wants us to grow. And so He gives us, first of all, people. People in leadership positions to help us, you say, to be able to be prepared so that we can serve Him. And the reason He does that is because He wants us all to mature. Here's the thing that we need to understand from this. God, He doesn't want us to be out kind of doing our own thing, okay? We need to make sure that what we're doing what that is what God wants us to, and not be one of those people like Moses who says, Lord, please send somebody else, or one of those people perhaps in more modern terms and language we would say today, shouldn't somebody be doing something about that? You know, we look at things that need to be done, and we're looking around finding, well, who's responsible for this? Somebody needs to do something about this, and perhaps maybe that somebody is me. Maybe this is what God has prepared me for. And so rather than standing around making excuses and wondering who else is going to take care of this, then I need to look at it and see, is this what God has been preparing me? You see? And building me up and maturing me so that I would be ready to accomplish this task, whatever it is, for Him. And then finally, what we need to recognize is we've got to serve where God leads us. See, so God prepares us for where He wants us to go and what He wants to do, but He leads us, and we've got to follow His leading, okay? Notice that when God commissioned Moses, when He sent him to free the Israelite people from Egyptian bondage, He told him, I will be with you. And God carried out that promise. Okay? Notice in Exodus chapter 13, the description of God's presence with Moses and the Israelite people. Look at what it says. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Now look at this next part. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. What does that tell you? God's presence was always with Moses and the Israelite people.
Amen.
He never left their presence. He never left Moses to go it alone. He had given Moses a task to do. He prepared Moses to do that task. And he said, I will lead you. You say, so what about us in our lives today? God doesn't send us to do something without first preparing us to do it. Okay? And so the idea here is be prepared, right, Charles?
Yeah.
Charles knows, he knows what all those badges are for. Say. But it's just that idea of being willing to be prepared by God to do what God wants us to do. Because God is not going to send us to do something that we're not capable or prepared to do. And the second thing is, he doesn't just send us to do something for him. He goes with us.
Amen.
Okay? So whatever it is that God is sending you to do, then you need to recognize and understand that, first of all, he's prepared you for it. You may not think you're prepared, just like Moses did. But God has prepared you to go where he's sending you. And secondly, he's going to go with you. He's not going to send you on your own. Okay? The Great Commission. Notice what it says here. Jesus tells us to do what? To go and make disciples of all nations, right? And baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And notice what he says, and surely I am with you to the very end of the age. You see, he sends us to go and to share his message, the message of heaven, with the world. But not only has he prepared us to do it, but also he says, I'm going to be with you. While you're going out there, I'm going to be with you. I'll always be with you. Because you see, God wants us to grow. He wants us to mature. And one of the greatest ways that we can mature and that heaven has given us is to serve God in our daily lives. And I think that we best do that when we look at Jesus. And that we desire to serve like him. Okay. So here's the call for us. To allow ourselves to enjoy living with the power of heaven right now in our daily lives. Heaven in the real world, where we live now. Okay. Accepting that message of God's love and then sharing that message with other people. Allowing heaven's message to help us to grow through the pain, through the hurt, through the trials, the testing, and to grow through the opportunities that God gives us to serve other people. What a wonderful, wonderful message that heaven has for us in our lives today. I hope that this study that we've been doing for the last bunch of weeks has helped you to see the power of heaven that is available to you in your life today. And I hope that perhaps maybe if in your life you've been kind of going alone, that you will realize that's not the way to make it. Heaven wants to be involved in your life every day in everything that you do. The question is, will you allow heaven to really be in your real world, where you live? Satan doesn't want us to do that. He wants to discourage us from that. To think that God is up there somewhere doing his thing and kind of put us down here and left us alone, it couldn't be further from the truth. And hopefully you realize that from this study that we've been doing. Satan tries to isolate us. So maybe there's somebody here this morning that's been feeling isolated cut off from those who would be the support system that you need. That's what Satan does. Convince us that, you know, God doesn't really love us and people don't really care about us and all those things. And we find ourselves kind of falling deeper and deeper into sin. If that's where you have been, I'm here to tell you this morning, you need to change that around. And you got a family here that wants to help you to do that. So that you can enjoy the power of heaven in your life right now, today. There's someone here this morning that's not yet a Christian. If you've not given your life to Christ yet, you need to understand you're separated from God by your sins. And you will continue to be that way until you repent of those sins and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And you can do that right now this morning. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as Lord. Repent of the sin. In other words, turn away from it. Don't just say, I'm sorry, but turn from that sin. That's what repent means. And have those sins washed away in baptism. We got water ready, don't we, Chuck? Water's warm. It's ready. If you're ready to make that commitment, all you got to do is come let us know. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone. If you'd like to have a private prayer or conversation with him, I'll be up here in the front to receive anyone. If you'd like to come up and share whatever your need is, we're ready to take care of that. Let's stand together and sing. Wes?